What if the problem isn't you at work? What if the real issue is the environment? And the fix isn't trying harder to fit in, but building something of your own that actually works for your brain? That's what we're going to be digging into today. We're going to be looking at whether self-employment may be the better path, one that fits your strength instead of fighting against them. Here's the straight truth. Most autistic adults aren't out of work because they lack skill or drive. They're shut out or worn out by jobs that have noise, hidden rules, and hiring systems that reward social performance over actual competence. Starting a business isn't a last resort. For many of us, it's been the best fit from the start. A way to work the way we work best. And a bad day in business is better than a good day in a job. I can tell you that for sure. Let's be honest, most jobs aren't built for brains like ours. They say they want smart problem solvers, and then they stick you in an open office full of noise, lights that hum, and people that tell you that team building is actually more fun than getting work done. Interviews are even worse. They don't measure if you can actually do the job. They measure how comfortable you are with the interviewer and how comfortable you make them feel. If you struggle with eye contact or small talk, you're always marked down before you even answer their questions. And then there's the schedule. 9 to 5 sounds fair until you realize that your best focus is at midnight or 10 a.m. after a noisy commute and a fake smile to everybody when you walk in the room. Add in office politics, random urgent tasks, and no quiet space to recover, and you've got burnout on repeat. I'm not saying quit work. I've had a few jobs that I've really liked over my time, but I realized that I didn't fit in. I've done a trade, but that was hard. I went back to university and became a teacher. And I taught for quite a few years, which I loved, but eventually I walked away and started my own business. I still love to teach, but I work with people who want to be taught how to do business online. And I love it. It's not just about lacking skill. It's about the system that's designed. It's about the system that isn't designed for how we think or work best. So when people say, you just need to try harder, they're missing the point entirely. The truth is, you don't need to fit into a broken system. You can build one that suits you. Let me ask you a couple of questions. If you remove the parts of work that melt you, what would remain that you're great at? What one service could you deliver well without even a single live call to a real person? Which rule from your last job made no sense? And how will your business fix that rule? So why do businesses fit the autistic brain? Well, first of all, you have control. You have control of the room, the light, the sound, and the pace. You have control over everything, and that is the best bit about being in business. It can also be the worst bit because you are in control, so you're in charge. But it's one of the things I love. I can choose what I do and do it my way. And I know it's the best way to do it because I've perfected it by all the years I've put into it. I don't have someone else telling me that I should be doing differently. You get to work at best hours. In other words, if you want to work at 10 a.m. in the morning or 10 p.m. at night, that's entirely up to you. You work your hours. You get rid of office politics and you keep nice clear plans and you have expectations of yourself that you follow instead. You can pick your clients who value outcomes and not just small talk. I don't talk to my clients every day. I normally meet with them once a month and I really enjoy that once a month. But they don't need to talk to me all the time and I don't need to talk to them. And I can sit here in my office by myself in peace and quiet. And I like it that way. Let me ask you, if you could design your ideal workday, what would you change first? Think about that. As being in business allows you to change anything that you want because it's your business. Now, if you do the wrong thing, you'll find out quick. If you do the right thing, well, you'll see the benefits of that. If these ideas make you stop and think, hit subscribe now so you don't miss out on what's coming next. Each week, we'll talk about how autistic entrepreneurs can build businesses that actually work for them. No masks, no burnouts, just practical ways to turn your strengths into income. Stick around because this might be the shift that you've been waiting for. So what strengths win for you when you're in business? Well, first one is hyper-focus. You can hyper-focus on deep work and on quality that stands out. You don't get caught up in all the little things that need to be done. You can sit down, concentrate, and get work done without people interrupting you with stupid questions all the time. Pattern spotting is really useful because it's great for building systems, seeing errors, and spotting market gaps. For me, it's a major part of what I do. I solve problems for my clients, and I love it. I look for the patterns. I see where the issues lie in their businesses, and I help them fix that. You can use detail and logic for coding, dealing with data, working with docs, and setting up precise services. You've got consistency for trust and repeat work. I love consistency because I know what I'm going to be doing on a month-to-month basis. Your reliability is your brand. Sell the plan and then stick to the plan. Be reliable, which is a great thing for me, and you will continue to get clients and grow your business. So how do you make it real? Here are some simple steps to get started. First of all, let's talk about your minimum viable service. You need one clear problem, one offer, and one way to deliver it. You don't need 1,000 solutions to things. You need just one problem you solve and one good way to solve it. And you probably have worked out the best way to solve it. There might be 1,000 ways on the market, but I know my way works. And that's one of the reasons why I've been so successful over the years. Secondly, you can start with quiet selling. Start with written proposals, sending out samples and proof without all the talking. You can use email. You can meet people in person, of course. I love networking, but it's one of those things that you don't have to do. You can sync your rules up so that they fit with your personality and skills. Email first, calls only within an agenda. So you send people an email, you set up the calls, you make sure you've got an agenda, and then you follow the agenda. So you have control over things. You don't just let it flow freely. It gives you that understanding of what's going to happen. You can have a bad day plan. I always have one of these. Pre-write a script of what you're going to do on bad days. Sometimes you can do things like building in buffers into deadlines and have recovery blocks in your calendar. There's so many ways that you can, when you're working for yourself, deal with the stress of being on the spectrum. So what are some systems that you can put in place when you're in business to lower your stress levels? The first of all is to get yourself a client fit scorecard. And this is a scorecard with red flags and green flags. These are things you like about people and things you don't like about people. And when it comes to red flags, just don't ignore them. You'll have clients that you don't like working with, and you'll discover what sort of client that is as you go forward. When you discover those clients, sack them and never take on another client like them. It's the biggest mistake you can do. You will take on some clients that you don't like. That's part of the learning process of being in business. You make these mistakes. But make a note of those red flags, those things that you didn't like, so that when you see them happen again, you can stop it early. Or if you see it in the clients when you're talking with them or interviewing them, you can actually cut that off and actually, you know, turn down that client. Because you don't have to take clients on. One of the biggest mistakes I've made, and I know everybody makes it when they're in business, is they take on clients for the money. We all have to take on clients for money. I understand that. But sometimes you take on clients because they throw a lot of money at you. The problem is often they're the ones that are the real pain in the backside. Just because they throw more money at you does not mean they're going to be good clients. In fact, sometimes they're a hell of a lot worse than your cheapest clients. I know my $10,000 clients are much more painful than my $300 clients in their expectations. And that's not just because they're paying a lot more money. It's just they have unrealistic expectations. You need to find the balance for your business. Create a template stack. If you're going to deal with stress, template things. You've got onboarding emails, scope docs, feedback forms, and handover checklists, all these things that you pre-create or create them as you grow your business and use them every single time. I have a checklist when I do SEO for companies that I go through to make sure I do everything. Otherwise, my brain forgets that I've done things. And it's pretty simple. It could be the day after I forgot that I've done it. Whereas if I've got a checklist and I've ticked it off, I know it's done and I don't have to go back and double check. Make sure you put some time in to do the different tasks that have to be done. So weekly reviews, make sure you've got invoice days to make sure invoices get done and paid. Put in an admin hour. It might only be once a week or it might be every single day, depending on your business. but have time penciled into your calendar that doesn't move. So between 4 and 5 daily, you do admin stuff. Do a time where you check your inbox. I don't like to check my inbox much after 3 o'clock at night because problems come in very late in the day and then I can't sleep because I stress over them. I check my email inbox at around 8 o'clock in the morning. I check it again around lunchtime and I check it again around 3. And I try to avoid it at all other times because I personally find it extremely stressful. I worry about pleasing my clients. So I have that going on in my head. I always expect problems. And it's not something that I've learned to deal with really well, but I have put this in place to help me deal with it. Some money basics when you're dealing with business. Most business maths is pretty simple, okay? Some months you're going to make a lot of money, some months you won't make as much. Try to get a target for how much you want to make a month and then try and hit that target. When you consistently hit that target, then increase the target to a greater amount, whether it's $1,000 a month or $10,000 a month, it doesn't matter. Don't start off at $100,000 a month. Be realistic. All you're going to do is disappoint yourself if you start at $100,000 a month, unless you're selling million-dollar widgets of some sort, okay? Make sure that your pricing fits in with what you need to make. Often I say to people, work backwards. You know, if you need to make $10,000 a month, well, that's a certain percentage of profit, which means you have to sell $100,000 worth your products or services to hit that profit each month. You can work backwards. And if you don't understand money, please go and get the book Profit First and read it. It will change your business forever. And most accountants agree with the processes that are in there. Profit First will teach you the basics of managing your money, and it will make a big difference to your stress levels when you have things like buffers built in where you've got money stored away. So when you have quiet months, you do still have money in the bank. It doesn't look like you're going out of business. There are certain things that happen that you'll notice is that you'll have ups and downs in your business and they will fall in the cycle. So I know over Christmas for me, between December and January is a very quiet time. And I don't know how many times I've told my running mate that I work with that I've gone out of business again over Christmas time, but I haven't because I put money aside to carry me through those times. That's the quiet time. Most businesses around here shut down then, so there's not as much new business. Make sure you look to develop multiple streams of income. When you first start out with your one problem, your one product, and your one price, but eventually you need to add other things in because things ebb and flow through those cycles. So for example, I'm offering SEO services, and I might run some SEO training. That gives me two different streams of income that I can create money in. And if I balance it properly, it means I'm covering for when one drops off and the other picks up. Multiple streams of income is really, really important. And I would say to you, remember, you can get sick, you can get hit by a bus, your life can turn upside down, you can feel like you just don't want to work for a couple of days because you're so stressed and you're so overloaded that you're melting down. So make sure that you set up your income streams. I preferred ongoing paid plans where people pay me on an ongoing basis for my work and I continue to deliver results for them. I find for me, that's the best way to work and it is the best way to get results for you and for my clients if you're one of my clients. Make sure you've got boundaries when it comes to your cash flow. Things like getting a deposit up front. If you're going to take money for a job, get a deposit up front and make it non-refundable. Because if you work certainly in digital industries, which a lot of us do online, then once you do something digitally, there's no way to actually get the money back from that. So you're actually charging for your time and your skills and your knowledge. So if you take a deposit up front, people will respect that time a lot more. It's not always possible, but I highly recommend that you have a non-refundable deposit that covers the time you spend to get the job done. And then the second payment is really your profit and all the extra work that you've had to do in the next part of the project. But look at doing that. Have fixed revision cycles. If you're going to change pricing or if people request changes, then review it on a cyclic basis, on a month-to-month basis, or every 6 months, or every 12 months. But go back and review things. Don't leave things just go on and on and on at the same price. Costs go up. You need to account for that in your pricing. And make sure you have things like late fees. Late fees are really, really important. If people don't pay, charge them extra. Everybody else does. Why shouldn't you? What makes you different? Charge late fees because it makes people pay on time. If you're like me, I charge people's credit cards, so I actually have control of the payment, and I find that just works better for me in my business, and my clients are happy with that situation. That doesn't mean some clients don't pay on invoice, but the majority these days are happy to pay via credit card. So what are some areas that are really good for business for people on the spectrum? Well, there's many, of course. You got technical data, things like development, testing, analytics, and accessibility building. Creative areas, which I particularly like. I'm a little bit of a crossover, I suppose. Design, writing, photography, editing, web stuff, etc. Consulting in a niche you do well. That's something I love to do. I like consulting. I like problem solving. So I like going in, finding someone's problems and telling them how to fix the problem. And sometimes they pay me to fix it. Other times they have their team to do it. Depends. I'm brought in because I'm the outside expert. E-commerce is a great place to start, but don't start with a shopping cart full of 10,000 items. Start with five that, you know, belong together. Stick to a tight niche to start with and then grow from there. And trades that reward precision and focus. So high-end cabinet makers and technical people, like where I started out, that's a great place for people on the spectrum because it requires precise work that follows certain patterns and has to fit a real quality level. There's lots of other areas. You'll have your area that you love doing that will fit into those realms or into something entirely different, I suspect, because really business is whatever you make it. When you're running a business, you need support, and it's really important. An accountability buddy or a coach who understands what your business is really powerful. I have an accountability buddy. We've been friends for years in an entirely different business that he has. But we get together and we talk about our businesses, tell each other what we're trying to achieve. And each time we get back together, we're like, well, how did you go with this? How did you go with that? Accountability buddies are fantastic. Second one, a small peer circle for problem solving and referrals. Now, it doesn't have to be neurodivergent. It can be a small group of other business people. Masterminding is a powerful way to grow your business. And I've really enjoyed it over the years because it gives me a chance to actually spend time with people, learn about their business, help them solve their problems, and then they can give me advice on how I can solve mine. Outsourcing your weak spots early is really important. Personally, I got rid of bookkeeping and accounting as soon as I possibly could because I'm no good at that sort of thing. And if you're no good at that sort of thing, you start to make mistakes and then the government comes looking for you for tax. And suddenly you're in a whole lot of problems. So if you do not do bookkeeping, if you are not good that way, or you don't have time, please outsource that so that you don't have tax problems, have a government chasing after you. It's such a simple thing and it's not expensive, but it's well worth doing not to have the stress of that. That's something that hassles me. It's something that does my brain in, and then I can't concentrate on anything else because I'm so terrified about having big bills come in that I can't afford to pay. When you're setting up a business, you can disclose exactly how you like to do things. And this is really important. It's your call. It's your timing, how you deliver things. When you go through it with a potential client and you tell them, oh, we do this and we do it like this, 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 these are the steps and here's how we did it. And you show them the example, whatever it happens to be. That disclosure is totally up to you. So make sure you do disclose those things because then you get the support of your client because they know what to expect up front. When people understand what you're going to do up front, they can cater for that. If something's going to take a couple of weeks or a couple of months to do, if you tell people that up front, then they expect it to take a couple of months. And if it happens faster, that looks really good for you. But if you don't tell them anything, they're going to start chasing you. So if you want the support of your clients, make sure you include them in discussions. Make sure you set up things so they know what to expect as well. So what are some of the risks and how do you handle them? Irregular income is certainly a risk. In fact, a very powerful risk that's going to shake you to your bones the first couple of times that your income bounces up and down. You need to build a small emergency fund. You need to put money aside. I recommend that over time you build up to $20,000 at least in your company account that's always there in case times get tight. If things go really bad, at least you have some money in there to pay yourself. Now, depending on how big your business is, it could be a much larger amount of money. But you will need that buffer at some stage in your business. If you set retainers where people are charged on a regular basis, that will make a massive difference to your income because every month you charge people. So you have that consistent charging going on every month. You hit, you know, someone week one, week two, week three, week four. So you got $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 coming in automatically every month, and you're able to continue with your work and you meet with your clients and tell them how you've progressed. Or it really will depend on what your business is. But if you can get retainers, if you can get ongoing paid packaging on your business services, which really makes a big difference to the freedom and your ability to cope with stress and overload. If you've got due dates, make sure you stagger them. Do not have two projects starting on the same day and do not have them finishing on the same day. You will not cope. Spread them out. Just do it in your calendar. Make sure you set some deadlines, but make sure you spread them out so that you've got time to recover in between. And if you're like me, that goes really hard in the last 10 hours, because for some reason that's how my brain works, I can do a week's worth of work in about 3 or 4 hours. Then you need to make sure that you stagger those out so you don't get caught up in them all. You're going to get admin overload if you're not careful. So make sure you template things. Template your forms, template your emails, template your follow-ups. Everything can be templated these days. And using AI, you have such a great opportunity because AI will do the templates for you. You can even talk through your processes as you're doing them, and AI will type it up and give you your checklists and all that. So make sure you've got all those things laid out, because eventually if you want to grow your business, you're going to have to be able to hand off those things to other people. So having those checklists and having those templates done means that they don't actually have to start from scratch or reinvent things, because they can follow exactly what you've set, and that will give you more consistency through your business. Scope creep is an issue. I hate scope creep. When you do something for someone, we call that plan the scope. So it might be to build a website, and the scope is that you'll design it, you will build it, and you will deliver it. And these things will be included in that. And this is when we're going to do all these things. And then what happens is your client comes back to you and goes, oh, actually, we want to add another 5 pages. Well, that's called scope creep, because originally there might have been 3 pages in the website. Now there's 8. Scope creep will eat your profit margin straight away. So in your contracts, you need to account for scope creep. Go through your contract, ask everybody to read it properly, go through, this is what you get them to sign off on it. Make sure that your clients are really, really clear on what they're getting, and then have a clause that says any extra changes will be charged at this much per hour. Now, if you don't want scope creep, make it a very expensive hour. It's not $100 an hour, it's $500 an hour. That will stop people coming to you for scope creep. What they will do then is you'll say, okay, we'll put that into a follow-up project. We'll deliver this website, then we'll come back and we'll add those 5 pages and we'll quote you on those separately. You don't want scope creep. It will do your head in and it will actually take all your money out of your profits. Your social battery. Make sure you cap your number of meetings you have every day. If you can do 2 meetings every day, do them 2 meetings in the morning and work in the afternoon or whatever, that's great. If you can do 3, that's great. But don't try and do 5 if you can only cope with 2. Spread them out over a greater distance. If anything, I was taught very early on, if people have to wait longer to see you, more often than not, it shows them that you're actually busy. So if I ring up today and I talk to someone, they say, come in straight away, I think, oh, they're not too busy. Isn't that funny? Psychologically, that's how we work. Whereas if someone rings up and says, oh, can I talk to you today? And you go, look, no, sorry, I'm flat chat. I can fit you in on Thursday. Well, that looks like you're actually busy. Now, whether you're busy or not, it's irrelevant. But certainly, if you're dealing with multiple meetings, you will be busy. So spread them out over greater time to allow yourself times to cool down after them, to get your focus back, to deal with the stress of having to talk to people and all those things. A quick start plan for you. First 30 days, there's a few things you can do. First of all, pick one pain point you can solve and write it down in one sentence. Second, draft a 1-page offer with a price, scope, timeline, and some proof. And you might not have proof straight up, but if you do a couple of jobs, make sure you get some testimonials from people. There's proof that you can do your work. It's really powerful. It's really important. You need to be able to prove that you can do what you say you can do, not just say it. When you have those testimonials, like you get on LinkedIn and places like that, or you have them on your website, that really adds a lot of value to your business, because people can see that you can actually deliver what you're promising. build 3 templates over the next month, a proposal template, an onboarding template, and a wrap-up template. Always a good place to start. Ask 3 past contacts if they want an audit, a setup, or a fix. Keep it short and written. Email them. You might have some people on your list or people that you know, and you can say, hey, I'm doing this business now. I'd like to offer you an audit. You might do it very cheap, or you might even do it free in exchange for a testimonial. You need those starting points. And book in on your calendar 1 deep work block daily and 1 admin hour twice a week, because you need to have those things in there to help you focus on getting some work done and have time to catch up on the paperwork. Obviously, you can put in rest times as well if you want to turn your brain off, because, well, that's always important. So if this hits home, don't wait. Write your 1 sentence offers a day and message me the draft. Put it in a DM or in the comments below, and I'll reply with 1 suggestion to help you tighten it up and make it better. If this episode hits home for you, make sure you subscribe to In Business with Autism. Every week we talk about building a business that fits how your brain works, not just how the world expects you to work. Hit that follow button so you don't miss the next episode, and share this with someone who's stuck in a job that's slowly draining them. It might be the reminder that they need that there's another way to work and live. I'll catch you in the next episode.